Just how big an economic boost is the payroll tax cut?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Well, we're in another one of those epic Washington fights again, the kind that could shut down the government. This one involves extending the payroll tax cut, which gave middle-class Americans an extra $1,000 or so this past year. The cut goes away at the end of this month unless Congress extends it, and so far the Republican House and the Democratic Senate can't agree on how to do so. Now, supporters of the tax cut say it helps the economy. But is it the most effective economic stimulus? Here's our Washington Bureau Chief, John Dimsdale.
The brilliance of the payroll tax reduction, according to the Urban Institute's Robertson Williams, is it adds about $35 to the average middle-class paycheck.
They're more likely to dribble it out in additional spending. Let's go to the movies. Let's go out to dinner. Let's buy that dress you want, honey. If we sent them a lump sum check, they might well put that in the bank and say, I needed my rainy day fund.
One drawback, upper middle class workers also profit from the payroll tax break. They're more likely to save. So Williams says better to extend unemployment benefits, money that's spent right away. But some economists, like Stephen Enten at the Institute for Research on the Economics of Taxation, say if the government has to borrow or tax someone else to put money in poorer pockets, it just doesn't help.
These things just play musical chairs with the money. The government gives it out with one hand and borrows it right back immediately with the other.
He says the best stimulus is to cut capital gains and other taxes on investment. That would encourage companies to expand their businesses and hire workers. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Now to another Washington deadline, this one involving the Securities and Exchange Commission. The regulator is supposed to finalize a new rule that would force companies to disclose how much more the boss gets paid than the average Joe. Marketplace's David Brancaccio is looking into how the new economy can better serve more people for his Economy 4.0 series, and he joins us now to discuss. Hi, David.
Hello, Jeremy.
So, David, tell us exactly what this new rule requires.
Think of it as a rough index of income inequality, but within individual companies. It requires companies to disclose the ratio of the boss's, the CEO's total compensation, along with bonus, stock options, and so forth, compared to what a typical worker makes. It was part of the big Dodd-Frank financial reform law passed like last summer of 2010.
Last summer, so this is taking them quite a while to implement this thing.
Yeah, a summer ago, and in fact, you can say the same for a lot of Dodd-Frank law. As of this month, regulators had blown through more than 150 Dodd-Frank deadlines. We asked about this one, about compensation. The SEC's a bit tight-lipped, but they pointed to the website, which says it's supposed to be done by December of 2011. That's like,
right,
I guess,
now?
Any day now. Yeah. They could still miss the deadline. Companies around the country have been fighting this rule tooth and nail. They think it's, quote, useless information.
Well, why would they fight this, David? Because don't they already have to disclose CEO pay?
Yeah, you can look it up. But this ratio is ammunition custom made for an argument about income inequality. In fact, President Obama used it just this way in a big speech in Kansas last week.
The typical CEO who used to earn about 30 times more than his or her worker now earns 110 times more.
And that may even be low ball, Jeremy. Some think tanks have put the ratio in America as high as 325 to 1.
325 to 1?
Varies, of course, by company. I mean, Walmart, lots of low-wage workers, and their ratio has been estimated to be higher than 700 to 1. But the fancy grocery store, Whole Foods, they cap executive compensation ratio at 19 to 1. Hmm. There's the legendary management guru, Peter Drucker. He wrote about this years ago, and his thinking is that a company where the ratio is above 25 to 1 would hurt their esprit de corps.
Marketplace Economy 4.0 correspondent David Brancaccio. David, thanks so much.
You bet.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in overseas trading this morning, down about 0.5% right now in Frankfurt. Looks like U.S. monetary policy is staying right where it is for now. The Fed wrapped up a meeting yesterday saying the U.S. economy is expanding moderately, but the trouble abroad, especially in Europe, still poses a risk. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 66 points to close at 11,954.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Money Magazine, offering personal finance advice, ideas, and tips on managing your health, home, career, travel, tech, investments, and more. December's issue, Make Money in 2012, is on newsstands now.
In Chicago today, city councilors are considering new rules to cut the number of traffic accidents involving taxi cabs. And as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, the latest proposal could hit taxi drivers in their wallets.
Cab drivers in Chicago lease their taxis. The new ordinance could require cab companies to reduce the time drivers spend behind the wheel and track their movements using GPS. Changes that may drive up the cost of leasing a taxi.
The biggest concern is that lease rates go up and there's no fare increase.
George LaFalla is a former taxi driver and publisher of an industry newspaper called the Chicago Dispatcher. He's not sure that limiting shifts to 12 hours would really improve safety.
I'm pretty much forced to work during those 12 hours, whether I'm up to it or not. Whereas if I had the cab for 24 hours, I could take a break.
But city officials may not get everything they want. Here's Commissioner Rosemary Krimble.
In Chicago, it used to be you could put a car on with 150,000 miles on it and start it as a cab. We've lowered it to 75,000. That is a concession.
A concession because she had wanted new taxis to be, well, you know, brand new. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, what are the best words to use on your resume if you want to get a job? Well, career social network LinkedIn has gone through its member profiles and says the following are at least the most commonly used: dynamic, motivated, track record, organizational, and creative. That's number one on the list. Problem is, according to LinkedIn, since those are the ones everyone's using, they don't really mean that much anymore. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Congress and Wall Street bankers, a lot of people think they're one and the same.
By a 62% to 21% margin, voters in Texas believe that big business and big government typically work together against the interests of consumers.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Attitude Check, our partnership with Gallup, big government versus big business. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.